listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. If you're enjoying the show, I hope you'll share it with a friend to help us grow the audience, and take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast, whether you're getting it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your podcasts. Also, if you've got questions, I hope you'll shoot them over to us so we can help answer them for you. The reason why I started my blog over a decade ago was to help people, and I really do enjoy helping, and I love answering questions. You can shoot those to me, ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. Up today, we've got Jen back with us to talk in detail about the Wyndham Rewards chart changes that you're going to want to know more about. There's some properties that are getting more expensive and some properties that are getting cheaper, and Jen's got the whole breakdown for us on that. But before we dive into that, we do have a listener question, if you will, from Eric, who's a new listener of the show, and he writes in that my wife and I are relatively new to the Points and Miles world. They signed up for Chase Sapphire Preferred and the Chase Freedom Unlimited cards. They've used some points for several Southwest flights by transferring their Ultimate Rewards points. Great job. But they want to take their points game to the next level. And gosh knows, I love hearing stuff like that. They want to redeem for business or first class to Europe, and they're thinking about 2020 or 2021. Love that they're planning ahead. They happen to live close enough to a hub that they've got some flexibility. And he asked me, you know, what other cards might they consider? And it's a good question, but I had to ask him a few more questions as follow-ups. He brought up City Prestige and the Fourth Night Free. You know, but some of it depends on how you're going to travel. And I really like that they started with Ultimate Rewards points. It's one of my favorite currencies because of the flexibility. How they travel is an important next piece here. Where they're going to travel to is certainly important. And, you know, what types of hotels they like. In the email, Eric mentions to me that they like the UR points, or the Ultimate Rewards points, if you will, because of transfers to places like Virgin Atlantic and United. So when I asked him what places were high on his list, he named a handful of places in Europe, and the list started with Italy, and there were some other places on there like Croatia and Barcelona. And so the first thing I thought of is, well, gosh, I mean, you know, those aren't places that are very easy to get using Virgin Atlantic. They're great getting from the U.S. to the U.K., but they're not going to be necessarily great for onward travel there. You've obviously got the Delta partnership that can help out a bit. But you know, some of the other airline partners out there are probably going to be a little bit more useful for them. So as we peel back the layers and we learn a little bit more about how Eric and his wife like to travel, we can figure out what the best next fit for them is. And you know, Eric and I need to go back and forth a little bit more to find out what the exact right choice is. But I'd say here a piece of advice I'd probably give to somebody who's been collecting Ultimate Rewards points through the various Chase cards that you can earn them through. I think the next best card to think about putting in your wallet is something from the American Express family. And for quite a long time, I was not a membership rewards guy, if you will. It's where I first started out. The first points I ever got were American Express membership rewards with my green card back in 1994, I think, when there really was only an American Express green card and an American Express gold card, to my recollection, and nothing else. So when you think about the landscape there is today, you know, we just had mentioned on last week's episode about how United is moving to a dynamic award chart, and that's going to change things pretty drastically. American seems to be headed down that same road as well. With the Marriott and Starwood merger, you know, it's the value of the Marriott points, if you will, makes me a little less excited to transfer them to airline partners, even though they do have a good airline partner program. I don't like to spend on their credit cards to earn points right now because of some of the changes that they made to the card in terms of your everyday spending levels. So we want to think about a second flexible currency in this ever-changing world, and that's where membership rewards comes in, because you've got some of the basic airlines in the U.S. that you would use to you know, get from point A to point B, if you will, and even some for vacations. Delta, JetBlue, for example. But you've also got partners like ANA to get you to Japan, or British Airways as another potential partner to get you over to Europe. Air France, KLM, Alitalia's Mile Milia program, so just a bunch of different options, if you will, to increase flexibility. American Express Membership Rewards does have hotel partners, though they're a bit thinner there than Ultimate Rewards is. Hilton, Marriott, and Choice Privileges. But the benefit here is just having the flexibility to move back and forth between the two currencies. And maybe what Eric and his wife can do is use some membership rewards points, if they're able to stock some up, for their tickets to get to Europe, and then use their Ultimate Rewards points to transfer to someplace like, say, Hyatt, my favorite hotel chain, to earn themselves an aspirational, really top-notch hotel stay for that dream vacation that they're planning in 2020 and 2021. The bottom line here is I love the strategy that Eric and his wife have put together. They've started collecting flexible currency. They've used it to offset some travel already on Southwest, and now they're looking to take it to the next level, which is always where I tell you guys to take things. Start off with something basic, set a goal, achieve it, and then move on to the next thing when you're ready. And maybe sometimes we're never ready for the next goal, and that's just fine. Everybody should have their own comfort level, if you will. But I love seeing that we've got listeners out there who want to take it to the next level, and that's what we're here for, to help you guys figure out what the next best thing you can do to help up your miles and points game is. We're going to step aside for just a quick second. We've got Jen on to talk about the Wyndham Rewards changes. Some good there, definitely some bad stuff. And then we'll be back. I'll wrap up the show this week with the final two pennies, because there's something that's been stuck in my head since a news piece that came up yesterday that I want to focus on, just in terms of making sure that we're keeping a good track of the things that we want to do most. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about, right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we've got Jen with us from Deals We Like to talk about Wyndham Rewards. Hey, Jen, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing good. And we're talking about Wyndham Rewards because of a novel change that they made a couple of years ago. And I wouldn't say the unwinding of that change, but essentially for those that haven't been following, Wyndham Rewards changed their entire award chart to a flat chart, if you will. Every single property was 15,000 points per night, from the lowest of low limited service hotels to the most beautiful resort in the Wyndham system. And you're talking, I think, like roughly 9,000 hotels. So every property was 15,000. And so we learned recently that Wyndham was going to make changes to their award chart. And so they've segmented into three separate categories now. They've got a 15,000 point level as well, which most properties will stay in. But they created two other levels, one below that at 7,500 points per night, and then one above that at 30,000 points per night. The announcement about this a few weeks ago indicated that there weren't going to be a lot of hotels moving, up in price, but they didn't tell us what properties. So these rewards are now live. The property category changes are in place. And Jen's been digging in a little bit. I guess, you know, first blush, Jen, what do you think about the properties that are moving up and moving down?
I think it's exactly what I would have speculated. So like you said, they didn't tell us in advance which properties were moving up and down. I'm not surprised just based on how Wyndham works in general, although they did have the knowledge ahead of time. They kind of left it up for us to figure it out and then to fish through it when the, you know, change came through. That's fine. So less than 200 properties moved up to that 30,000 point level. And they're exactly what I thought. Those top tier Wyndham properties, you know, Wyndham and Clearwater Beach, Wyndham, all-inclusive properties throughout the Caribbean. Let's see what else. Some of those, you know, really, really top Wyndham or Grand Wyndham properties that you would think of, not your Days Inn, your Baymont Suites, or those lower tiers. And there are actually some really good things that have stayed the same. So there's about 150 Wyndham Vacation Club properties, and those are what you think of like your timeshare properties. And all of them except three stayed at that same 15,000 point level.
Okay.
So that's what that's, I mean, so no change there. And that's really good. I mean, there's some really nice Wyndham Vacation Club properties. For example, I made a lot of speculative bookings, and there's a Wyndham Vacation Club right at the base of the canyons, right in Park City, Utah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, you know, ski in, ski out resort. I was for sure thinking that that would go up to the higher level, and it stayed the same, because it is one of those vacation clubs. And the vacation club properties, you can have usually a studio, one bedroom, two bedroom, et cetera, three bedrooms. And even those one bedrooms are still at that same 15,000 point level. So that's a really nice usage. Same with Hawaii. Hawaii has, I believe, off the top of my head, five different vacation clubs. Those all stayed at the 15,000 point level, all of them. In Orlando, there's also a handful of them, and all of them except the Wyndham Grand Orlando Resort Bonnet Creek, they all stayed at that 15,000 point level too. So even though properties moved up, most of the vacation club properties, which are your nice family oriented, you know, larger rooms, you know, they might not be full service where you can get room service, let's say, but they have beautiful beaches or pools and other amenities, all stayed at the same level, which is nice.
Yeah, and you mentioned those properties where you can get a slightly larger room, and you know, you and I have talked on the podcast about that before, and then last year I wrote about shocker, a property in Orlando, since our family's always down at Disney World, but it's called Magic Village, and they actually have three bedroom and four bedroom villas, you know, two floor houses, if you will, and if they're available, which on a bunch of nights they were when I wrote this post back in September, you could get those for 15,000 points a night. So you could essentially have, you know, a family of, you know, 8 or 10 people in a four bedroom house for 15,000 Wyndham Rewards points a night, which strikes me as a pretty darn good deal if they left it that way.
Absolutely. So I haven't looked into that particular property, but it seems as though most of the vacation clubs have not changed how they work. So hopefully that will stay the same. Another thing that they did is about 3 years ago, they added in a bunch of condos and vacation homes into the program where you could redeem your Wyndham rewards. And those worked for a one bedroom, you'd redeem 15,000 points a night, a two bedroom, 30,000, et cetera. So every bedroom within the property would be 15,000 points. And those properties stayed at the same 15,000 points per bedroom cost. So there's like 20,000 condos and vacation homes you can actually redeem your rewards points. Like I saw castles in Ireland, ski in, ski out in Colorado, a bunch of properties in the, like the Panhandle area of Florida. And so that's the same. So, you know, while 200 properties might have moved up, a lot of really good opportunities have stayed the same. So not a huge, huge, huge change, I guess. And hopefully people made their desired reservations ahead of time, and so we're able to lock in those stays. And then again, some properties actually went down to the 7,500 point level. And that's great for people that are looking, you know, just for a bed to sleep in. They don't need that big resort property. They're not spending time at the location. They really just need something, you know, maybe near an airport or on the highway on their way to a certain destination. And I actually looked into Disney, so you'd appreciate this. In the Orlando area, there are about 5 to 10 properties that are now at that 7,500 point level. So that's a great opportunity. If you're staying, getting to Disney at whatever time the park opens, 8 a.m. and not leaving till 8 p.m. and you literally are just looking for an inexpensive way to sleep through your Disney vacation, there are properties. I mean, I do suggest checking out TripAdvisor reviews ahead of time. I know I sent my husband to one property last year for some mattress from promotion and he'll never enter again.
Yeah, and we blogged about that too.
We did. We did talk about that. Oh God, he's like, what are you doing to me? But so definitely, check out reviews of ahead of time of those lower level Wyndham properties, I personally would suggest. But if you're literally just looking for a bed to sleep on, this can be the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, we did a report, our buddy, yours and mine, Summer from TPG Family, we did a report on 170 hotels that you could book on points around Disney World last year. And there were a number of Wyndham Rewards properties on that list, obviously, just given all the different families that they have. And those, based on what the price per night was for most of those properties, 15,000 points definitely was not a great deal for them. So if some of those drop from 15,000 to 7,500, I'd absolutely agree that they're a screaming deal. I think essentially what you're swapping is, if you don't want early access to the parks, if you don't need extra magic hours and you don't need the 60-day fast pass window, when you consider that it's hard to get hotel rooms for under a couple hundred bucks a night in Disney World, and they can certainly go up much higher than that, being able to use 7,500 Wyndham Rewards points for, again, like you said, it's going to be a clean bed, shower, and that's about it. You're not going to find extravagant pools or anything like that. But I mean, gosh, for how expensive a Disney World vacation can be at over $100 a day for the park tickets, being able to get a cheap, clean hotel room for 7,500 Wyndham Rewards points is going to fit a lot of families.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't travel like this now typically, but growing up, we used to go to Disney once or twice a year, every single year through my high school age.
Oh, you don't do that now? What's wrong with you?
No. I don't. I still love Disney. What I guess I'm saying is those properties, I'm sure I've slept in. I've definitely slept in those properties because that's how we traveled. Wasn't, we went to Disney to really spend time at Disney, not the resort. So we action packed right. Disney. We were there literally the moment it opened till the moment it closed. And we just slept at the hotel room. I don't recall using any amenities, no character breakfast, any of those stuff. My parents put their money into the tickets, which were significantly less, 30 years ago. And that's all we needed. What I'm saying is now I'd probably spend twice the amount of points and stay at the vacation club resorts and only charge 15,000 points a night.
Yeah.
But if that's all you're looking for, it's a good option.
Yeah. And I think this is the thing, about programs like Wyndham Rewards. I think there are so many properties in the system, and there's a flavor for pretty much everybody that wants to stay. I'm not going to stay at a 7,500 point property because I have more points at my disposal. We generally like to stay on site at Disney, but if I was visiting, my wife's family in, Huntsville, Alabama, or someplace off the like big beaten path. Yeah. Those properties could be a really good fit for us in terms of saving money on a family trip to go visit, extended family. So
absolutely.
I think that, I think there's a good fit for many folks across these properties. And to be honest, I have not spent a bunch of time collecting Wyndham Rewards points, so I'm certainly not an expert on the program, but I think I see the high level value, and I'm glad to see thousands of hotels drop into that 7,500 point category. Yes, some folks will, likely be hurt by the 200 that went up, but
right. Definitely.
I'll be curious to hear your opinion, but I think my two cents is I'm comfortable with a couple hundred properties going up in quote-unquote relative price with points for how much stayed the same.
Yes, and since they gave us advance notice, I'm fine with that. I did have seven free nights I was looking to redeem my points at, so I did go ahead and I spent, a few hours really looking at the next calendar year and booking out those reservations in advance. because I didn't want to kind of diminish my points. And like one of them was the Wyndham in Newport, Rhode Island, like literally right on the beach there. And that stayed at the same 15,000 points a night. So now if I might go this summer, but if I have to cancel, I know I can still make that same reservation next summer. I did book a reservation for Puerto Rico. That one did go up to the 30,000 points, but I was able to redeem my points for good value. I haven't spent time, you know, accruing a million Wyndham reward points. I don't think most people have spent time accruing a million Wyndham reward points. So they're not going to be stuck with all these points that have now fully devalued. And now you can use them for hypothetically twice the value. And like you said, with only less than 200 properties moving up, I think it was not a devaluation, not a whatever the opposite word of devaluation would be. I don't know. You know, I think it kind of stayed net. Same. I still feel the same about the program. I might not send my husband to Orlando again, though, to do a mattress run to earn points. But I'm happy with how I redeemed the points I had. And I still feel good about the program. And I do know that Wyndham is looking to, you know, really help out like military folks, and they're putting some new benefits there. And I actually think more folks will benefit from this change than like you and I. We're not Wyndham's, you know, core people.
No, we're not. But I do think I'll have some fringe Wyndham stays. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in Vegas. And so I've started to think about some of the Caesars casinos, you know, more so just to review them for starters for the blog. But, you know, but in theory, you know, could end up being a part of my business travel.
Absolutely. And I looked at those and many of them did stay at the same 15,000 point level. So you're good.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks a bunch for being on and breaking down the Wyndham Rewards changes for us. I haven't dug in deeply, so we'll have to dig in deeper and find some of the gems. When you're not hopping on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can find you hanging out.
Sure. You can find me on my blog, dealswelike.com. Send me an email, dealswelike@gmail.com, or any of the social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything @dealswelike.
Thanks for being back on again, Jen. Safe travels. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about our monthly Amazon gift card giveaway. Each month, we're going to give a $50 Amazon gift card to one of our mailing list subscribers. As long as you stay subscribed, you'll have a chance to win each time we have a giveaway. We'll always send you the best travel info, and we'll never sell your email address to anyone. You can subscribe right on our homepage, milestogo.boardingarea.com. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. And, you know, when I set out to record the episode this week, we were getting ready to finish up a family vacation. So by the time you listen to this, if you listen to the day that the episodes drop, my family and I will be racing through Disney World, the Magic Kingdom, to raise money for a cancer charity called Pelotonia to help support and honor a friend of ours that we lost recently in a battle for cancer. She battled for 4 years. Her name was Pamela Johnston, and she was a very good friend. But that's not the only thing that I wanted to touch base on with you guys today. As I laid out the episode, I originally intended for the listener question to be our final two pennies this week. But as I was getting ready to wrap the audio up and, you know, in the midst of our family vacation, something tragic happened. You've probably heard by now that Notre Dame caught on fire in Paris. And the video and the images are startling and shocking, if you will, to see the spire catch on fire and collapse. The images of it collapsing are just very painful to watch, because I've seen the cathedral a number of times. And I think the reminder today, you know, the final two pennies, if you will, is, you know, don't take for granted those things that you think will always be there that you can do. Because I've been to Paris five or six times. And while I've walked past this big, majestic cathedral that's been there for longer than we can all remember, I've never been inside. The lines were too long, or we had other priorities, and we just figured it would always be there, like the Vatican, like Sagrada Familia. And I have every confidence that the French people will rebuild Notre Dame into something that's, you know, absolutely stunning and beautiful and representative of the history that it represents to the French people and to the world. But a part of me is a bit sad seeing it today and knowing that I missed that opportunity to see the history that was there before. I think the flip side is that from what I've been able to glean so far, nobody was killed in the blaze, although there is a firefighter that was seriously injured, and we don't know if he or she will pull through, but we're certainly hoping for that outcome, because things can certainly be rebuilt and replaced. People can't. And so we'll certainly celebrate that there wasn't or does not appear to have been a loss of life associated with this tragic event, but we'll be sad that that something a landmark as visible as this will undoubtedly be closed for some period of time while they try to make her great again. The reminder here is, take advantage of what you have, whether it's a little bit of cash stashed away or some points and miles, to take that special trip and see those special things that you want to see. Just in case. Certainly hope nothing happens to that favorite place that you want to go, but travel is all about experiencing things, in my opinion, not necessarily buying things, but experiencing things. And so get out there and make sure you're getting in all of those experiences. Thanks again for tuning in this week. Sorry for getting a little long-winded there in the final two pennies, but boy, those images were very stark and startling to see. I really appreciate Jen coming onto the show to help us break down those Wyndham Rewards changes, and I certainly hope that Eric takes a bit of my advice and can find the next step in his credit card strategy in the hopes of him and his wife having their dream European vacation coming up in the next year or two. If you've got other questions that you'd love us to answer, we love answering them. You can email me, ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all @pizzainmotion. If you've got a moment, we'd love it if you'd share the show with a friend. That way we can keep growing the audience, and love it if you would subscribe and rate the podcast. So lastly, special thanks to Mike for helping close up the show this week from a production standpoint. We've got a bunch of segments to get ready for next week, including Leslie coming back on the show to talk about Hawaii, of all places, a place I still haven't been. We've got all that in the works for you. We've still got some time to put that stuff together, but until then, we've got miles to go.